Throughout history, remarkable men and women have left behind ideas capable of changing the course of a life. In each episode, we'll explore one section of a timeless book, uncovering the enduring wisdom, practical lessons, and powerful stories that continue to shape thoughtful lives today. These are more than book summaries. They are an invitation to join great dialogue that has connected generations of readers, leaders, and lifelong learners. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Dialogue on Dialogue.
Welcome back. In this new series, we are walking alongside Benjamin Franklin through his autobiography to discover what his remarkable life can still teach us about learning, character, success, and becoming just a little better every single day. This is Benjamin Franklin's Part 13, Thinking Bigger Than Yourselves. Sometimes the greatest ideas don't fail because they're bad ideas. They fail because they're ahead of their time. More than 20 years before the Declaration of Independence, more than 30 years before the Constitution, Benjamin Franklin proposed something that sounded unimaginable. What if American colonies work together instead of separately? The proposal failed, but the idea never died. In today's chapters, Franklin begins thinking beyond Philadelphia and starts asking a much bigger question: how do we unite people to solve problems none of us can solve alone? By the mid-1750s, tensions along the colonial frontier had increased dramatically. Conflicts involving Native American tribes and rival European powers convinced many colonial leaders that better cooperation was urgently needed. Franklin was selected as one of Pennsylvania's delegates to a gathering in Albany, New York. Representatives from several colonies met to discuss mutual defense. Franklin arrived with an ambitious proposal. Rather than allowing each colony to operate independently, he suggested creating a unified colonial government. His plan called for two key components. The first is a president general appointed by the king, and a grand council chosen by the colonies themselves. Together, they would coordinate defenses, negotiate with Native American nations, and address issues affecting all of the colonies. Looking back, it's remarkable how familiar this proposal sounds. Although very different from what our Constitution is today, Franklin's Albany Plan contained many of the same underlying ideas that would eventually shape the United States. The delegates approved the plan. Unfortunately, almost everyone else rejected it. Colonial governors worried about losing their own authority. Officials in England feared the plan gave too much democratic power to the colonies. Each side opposed it, but for completely different reasons. The proposal quietly just disappeared. Instead, the colonies continued operating independently, the responsibility for defense remained scattered among individual provinces. Money would be borrowed from England and repaid through taxes imposed on the colonies. Writing years later, Franklin observed, with some, I guess, irony, that those very tax policies would eventually contribute to the growing tensions that led to the American Revolution. Short-term political decisions often produce long-term consequences that no one initially expects. The next chapter here shifts from the broader colonial picture back to Pennsylvania, where Franklin continued serving in the assembly. Again and again, he witnessed conflicts between elected legislators, the elected legislature, and the royal governors. The assembly wanted to address public needs. Governors frequently insisted on protecting their own interests and those of their wealthy landowners. One dispute centered on raising money for defense. The governor refused to support a funding plan unless his own lands were exempt from the taxation. Rather than allowing the disagreement to stall everything, Franklin searched for another path. Using the assembly's financial authority, he helped develop an alternative method of borrowing against public credit to fund the needed defenses. It wasn't a perfect solution, but it allowed progress to continue. Throughout these chapters, one pattern becomes increasingly clear. Franklin rarely accepted the idea that political disagreement meant nothing could be accomplished. Instead, he looked patiently for practical solutions that allowed people to move forward despite their differences. So here are a few of the lessons that I gathered from these chapters. Lesson number one, think beyond today's problem. Franklin's Albany Plan wasn't designed simply to solve one military crisis. It was focused on thinking decades into the future. Great leaders solve today's problems while preparing for tomorrow's opportunities. Sometimes we become so focused on immediate challenges that we forget to ask what kind of future we're building. Lesson number two, don't confuse rejection with failure. Franklin's plan failed. No one implemented it. Yet, many of the central ideas resurfaced years later in the Articles of Confederation and eventually the Constitution. Not every good idea succeeds immediately. Sometimes you're planting seeds that someone else will harvest. Lesson number three, creativity often matters more than authority. Franklin didn't always possess the power to get exactly what he wanted. What he did possess was creativity. When one solution became impossible, he searched for another. Leadership isn't simply having authority, it's finding pathways forward. When obstacles appear, you find solutions. Lesson number four, beware of short-term thinking. One of Franklin's most insightful observations is that today's convenient solution can become tomorrow's major problem. Borrowing money and raising taxes solved an immediate need. It also contributed to colonial resentment, whether in their finances, careers, or our personal lives. It's worth asking, will today's decisions still look wise 10 years from now? As I finished up these chapters, I noticed something changing in Franklin's story. Earlier in the autobiography, he focused on improving himself. Then he focused on improving Philadelphia. Now his attention has expanded once again. He's beginning to think about improving an entire continent. That's one of the fascinating things about growth. As our ability and the things that concern us increase, our circle of concern often grows. With that, Franklin never stopped asking, "How can I help?" The only thing that changed was the size of the community he hoped to serve. And perhaps that lesson is worth remembering today. As we grow in knowledge, experience, and success, may our concerns grow just as large. So remember, My dear listeners, the lessons are older than we are, and they are just as relevant today.